you want to stand, you're welcome to stand for the scripture reading. I know it's been sitting for a while, and it's 7:10. I fully intend to be done on time. Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse number 1. I do want to take the time to give us this reading again. It's been a couple of weeks since we've been together in the book of Hebrews, and then we'll take a pause probably next Wednesday night as we celebrate or remember the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, have the Lord's Supper next Wednesday night in honor of that, and leading up to the resurrection 3 days later. Hebrews chapter 11 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Verse number 6, "Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And then if you jump down to verse 22, our example is Joseph, who we visited a few weeks ago. About what did Joseph's faith mention? It says, "By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." And let's pray. Lord, thank you for the night you've given us. Thank you for the songwriters who many years and years ago walked with you, and most of them experienced tragedy in some way. But in the tragedy, experienced the closeness of God. And some of them gave us the hymns we sang tonight about their willingness to follow you wherever you led. Regardless of where the path went, regardless if they could anticipate your next move, their faith just moved them to follow you. We'll see it in the life of Joseph. Would you help us tonight to follow these examples and follow their testimony, these witnesses, as they followed Christ? Help us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated, and I'm not going to give the background, all the history of Joseph. We wouldn't have time to do that one night anyway. Certainly don't have time to do it tonight. But even most of the school children would know the story of Joseph being his father's favorite. And you say, well, that's not right. Well, every parent probably has their favorite. And you say, which one is yours? They know who they are. And it's just that one just hasn't been born yet. And it's coming in September or October. And the other five, you say, who do you like out of the other five? It's who do I dislike the least? And he said, that's not fair. It's not, but it's true. And no. But his father obviously went down that road. And it was more because of his wife Rachel's sake. And he was the son of his old age. And he loved him so much. And of course, it led to his being hated by his brethren. It didn't help that he was, I guess you could say, young and dumb at one time, where God gave him dreams and visions and he felt led to share that with everybody. And his brothers hated him for it. His father misunderstood him for it. And it leads to him being thrown into a pit. And he didn't ask for that. He didn't anticipate that. He was just walking with God, obeying his father. He's attacked and thrown into a pit. The answer from that is to sell him off into the group that takes him down into Egypt and sells him to Potiphar. And now he's in a place he didn't want to be. He's around people he didn't choose to be with. And he's performing tasks that were less than desirable. And each step of the way, though, the Lord is with Joseph. And the Lord is helping Joseph. And regardless of what place he finds himself in, or the people he finds himself around, or the tasks that he is performing, Joseph continues to follow the leading of God by faith. And I guarantee you could ask Joseph one day, that, did you see the path going that way? And he had no idea. If he was to look back, he would say, all those stops along the way, I never saw that coming. I would have never chosen to go those places. I would have never selected to be around those people. I wouldn't have chosen those tasks to perform in my wildest dreams. And while you read through the scriptures and you find other men like Job and David, other good men, who do depart from faith at times, it seems, and give way to fear or the flesh and make a rebound, you never witness Joseph's faith wavering. Amen. Whether he's in the pit, whether he's in Potiphar's house, making the best of it, falsely accused, thrown into prison, making the best of it, the Lord's with him, he's just following the leading of God, makes a couple of acquaintances, and one he says, hey, you're good to go. The other one he says, hey, you're dead. And at that point, just leave me in prison. But the one guy dies, the other guy says, man, when I get out of here, I've got your number. I'll let them know the wrong man's in prison. And two more years goes by because he's forgotten about. The faith of Joseph doesn't waver. So we're going to look at tonight the first one, but then we'll look at all three in a couple of weeks. That faith follows, faith forgives, and faith foresees. The verse we just read in 22 deals with how his faith foresaw the future, if you will. Not that he could, really could by the eyes of faith see the future, but God made a promise, and by faith Joseph foresaw that it would come to fruition. Not because the signs around him in Egypt indicated that that would come to fruition, but because God said it would. So he foresees what's going to happen and says, take my bones out of here. And that is the end of the story of faith. And Joseph is, one day there is a day we're getting out of this old world and I'm not being left behind. But faith follows rather than being sent. That's the idea for tonight. It's simple. That our faith follows where the Lord leads rather than my faith is sent by God to do certain things. You say, by faith, we're going to go certain places that we wouldn't choose. Sure. By faith, we're going to be around certain people we wouldn't have selected. Sure. By faith, I'm going to perform certain tasks I never saw coming. Certainly. But we are not sent by God to go live a life of faith. We are led by God to live a life of faith. And it all starts out in this thing called the Christian life, if you will. We talked about it on Sundays in the book of Philippians, that we are receiving gifts from God by faith. Brother Werner and I had a visit recently. We're talking about this. That God begins to give us gifts that are received by faith. He gives us the gift of salvation. Man, we enjoy that one. He gives us the gift of sanctification.
Amen.
We expect sanctification to be a work or a gift of God. And then he says, I have another gift for you, Philippians 1:29. Here is the gift of suffering. He says in Philippians 1, unto you it is given, both to believe and to suffer. And we enjoy the gift of salvation. We expect the gift of sanctification, but we must embrace and endure the gift of suffering. I put both those words for a reason, embrace and endure, because we are to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. But when we see by patience and faith the sovereignty of God, we can embrace the fellowship of Christ's suffering. If we're not careful, suffering can easily turn us inward, or all the focus is on the misery of self. But with patience and faith in Hebrews, the focus is not on the misery of self, but on the sovereignty of God. And we said it Sunday, there is no suffering that enters your life that has not first checked in with God. Anything that has happened in your life had God's authorization. There's no accident, there's no coincidence. Job's life being one example, Joseph's life being another, that everything that enters your life came through the permission of God. If you are in Jesus' hand and Jesus' hand is in the Father's hand, it's a safe guarantee that anything that got in the middle where you are came through God.
Amen.
And we often, if we're honest, feel very isolated and alone when we're enveloped in the gift of suffering, like Joseph was. While others who are carnal at best or wicked at accurate are untouched by the crushing trials of life. And if we're honest, in the middle of trials, it is hard to see beyond the pain of the moment. It is difficult to trust God when all I can see is the blackness and the darkness. I'm not trying to be discouraging, but we may never understand God's reasoning for all the pain and the problems. But we can be certain that in Christ, our suffering is not pointless. It's not just part of life. But it's twofold. It prepares me for here, and it prepares me for the hereafter. This life is simply preparation for the life that is to come. In John 13, I won't read all of it, but you know the story of Jesus who is talking to his disciples, and then it says he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. I'm glad we don't do that as a Baptist church. Some churches still practice foot washing. I wish some in our church would practice it personally, but hey, that's your call. And you say, who? I don't know, but hey, maybe it's me. It says, then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. There are times God gives or withholds wisdom and understanding and discernment. There are times that we don't understand God's reason for leading as He is. But in Christ, we are certain that it's not pointless. It's preparing us for here and for the hereafter. And as hard as the enemy tries to convince us that we are all alone in this gift of suffering, one look at Christ reminds us that the Son of Man, the Man of Sorrows, has gone that way before us. That our God is leading us through this life rather than sending us on a journey. In John chapter 10, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Later in John 10, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Right. We don't have a sheepdog as our God, but a shepherd. It's a good reminder for pastors, this one included. We don't drive the flock, we lead the flock. We got plenty of sheepdogs in the ministry, we need more shepherds. Not the message for tonight, but a good one to think about. And maybe I will. Jesus does not drive his sheep to pastures and places and people and problems he has not been and conquered successfully. He leads them. He goes out first. They follow him because they know his voice. And he knows them. So the thought tonight is simply faith follows rather than is sent. There is no pathway you'll ever be called to travel that the Son of God has not already conquered. And there is no pathway you'll be called to travel where the Spirit of God is not accompanying you. To be made like Christ, I hope that's our heart's desire. I know Wednesday nights we're tired. Most days we're just cranky and carnal. I say, I don't care. Well, when you do care, think of this. To be made like Christ, I must be taken through what He went through. That's why Paul said how he learned to embrace the fellowship of his suffering. I want to be made like Jesus. How am I going to be made like Jesus if I'm not willing to go through and follow the path he led? Matthew 16 then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and go that way."
Follow me.
He said, follow me. He said, I've been there. I've done it. I did it successfully. I bring victory for it. But if you want to follow me, you'll have to do just that. Follow me. If you want to be like me, then there are things that God must take you through that Christ went through. Jesus wasn't spared loneliness. God wasn't spared difficulty when he walked this earth. The Lord Jesus was disappointed like we get disappointed. He was tempted to be discouraged as are we. He sorrowed and suffered more than any man. And if God let his own son go through all that he did, why do we think he'll spare us? Can I say this and we're just about done? God is far more interested in your character than he is your comfort. He is far more interested in our holiness than he is our happiness. Happiness is not the goal of our Heavenly Father's work in our life. Holiness is. It's the same idea with raising a family, and I'm trying to learn it one day, that the goal is not closeness and warm, fuzzy feelings. The goal is preparedness. That I'm sharpening arrows that are ready to be launched for God's cause and His glory. And my kids know that I say this more than I probably should, and in spirits and tones of voice that I probably should not. That the problem here, the misery here comes because there's a power struggle. And if you just submit, you'd be happier. But if you won't, you'll be miserable. But how often is it appropriate when God has to show us that about His relationship with us? That the misery here is there's a power struggle. And there can't be two gods on the throne at the same time. And I can either let myself be consumed with all the pain and all the problems, or I can trust that the sovereignty of God has led me to this place for such a time as this. You say, I wish I could see around the bend. Sure do. 2 Corinthians says, as does other places, we walk by faith, not by sight. Because faith follows rather than is sent. We travel pathways that the Son of God already traveled. And we travel pathways that the Spirit of God always accompanies us on. And if we'll follow Christ, those same pathways that we are called to traverse will contain treasures we would never have found anywhere else. So it's just a reminder in the life of Joseph that faith follows rather than is sent. And we need not fear the pain, but follow the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. We're going to be dismissed.